In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 9, 11, 16, 1909. Listen, my daughter, Jesus says to Louisa. I had to dispose your soul to make you reach this point of delighting in suffering so as to do my work. So that's what Jesus has been doing with our own lives. He's disposing our soul. It's the, again, we're a wild horse that he's trying to control, break. And he says, I had to dispose your soul. So everything that you've gone through, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, everything that you've gone through, Jesus says, as God who loves us so much, I had to dispose your soul to make you reach the point of delighting in suffering. Why? In order to be able to do God's work. Jesus wanted to suffer. Our Lady, giving her fiat, wanted to suffer. And Jesus has brought us to this point where in reality, we say he's a loving God. He wants to save us from eternal damnation, save us from falling into the abyss. And you put us through these difficulties. Okay, you have to have a divine reason. As God, as Lord, as Savior, as Master. So you're asking us to reach the point of delighting in suffering. Okay, what does that mean? You stub your toe. Instead of cursing, you say, thank you. You've got a stomach ache and you know, you've got a headache. You've got, you know, pains. Lord, you're doing this for a reason. Thank you. It's to go to from his perspective. So he says, therefore, to do my work, I had to test you. I had to surprise you. I had to load you down with sufferings so that your nature might rise again to new life. So he's teaching us. I, for example, you know, as an altar boy, I remember, you know, having being taught, you know, when the Latin Mass was being said, to sit in the pew next to the priest, you know, the presidential bench, if you want to say, do not move. And for a young boy, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, to not move was really, he says, the pastor said, you have to become invisible. You can't be a distraction. You can't be fidgeting. If you want to be an altar boy, you have to be invisible. Now, that discipline was like, you know, I have to become invisible. Taught many, many things. Then when I went into the seminary back in 64, we're sitting in the pew. It was again, don't move. You have to discipline yourself to not moving. And again, that was like for a teenage boy, that's the most difficult thing in the world to do. yeah, what it helped in that even from a young age is to learn how to sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to focus. And that was, I needed that in order to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament today. So Jesus says very, very clearly, I had to test you. I had to surprise you. I had to load you with sufferings. Now the sufferings are no big deal so that your nature might rise again to a new life. This new life that our God wants us to enter into, this new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II has prophesied that we're entering into, we see that it doesn't make sense for a young boy to sit motionless It doesn't make sense. But from a divine perspective, to become invisible so that you're not distracting other people in the congregation from watching you fidget all over the place, you know, was necessary. And again, that's just a small little thing. But what God is asking of us is he's saying, I'm teaching you, I'm showing you how to read, to study, to put this into practice, to discipline yourself, to rise to a new and greater life. That's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So everything in our life has been planned by God, and he's asking us, are you ready? Are you ready to do my work? Every one of us is called to do God's work. So volume 9, 729, 1910, if you lean on the pillar of my divine will, Jesus says, darkness will convert into light. Certainties will be converted into, doubts will be converted into certainty. Hopes will be converted into possession. So here he's saying, there's going to be darkness. There's going to be doubts. There's going to be hope. Christian hope is certitude. It's, I'm going to possess this. Why? Jesus says so. And I trust in him. I believe in him. I hope in him. I have confidence in him, in him alone. The second pillar, the first pillar is leaning on my divine will. The second pillar, he says, on which you must lean is the firm will and continuous attention not to offend me, even slightly. So again, put this on your bathroom mirror. First, the pillar of God's divine will. Second, not to offend God in any way, shape, or form. And that's where we are right at this point. Our lives are so disordered, so far from God, that he's teaching us to fall in love with him so much that we will not offend him even slightly. And God is doing this. As we spend time with him, he's teaching us to not be fidgety. He's to focus on him, to adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to bless him, but not just in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but when we're away from the Blessed Sacrament, to not to offend him even slightly by worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. Disposing one's own human will to suffer everything, to face everything, to be submitted to everyone rather than displeasing Jesus. It's falling in love with our spouse. When the soul sees that she is leaning continuously on these two pillars that form more than her very life, she can live with greater confidence than if she had lived with my continuous favors. So what is Jesus showing us? He's showing us that this discipline that he's teaching us, living in the will of God, never being out of the divine will, and to not offend him even slightly with every thought, with every word, with every deed. He says, this is greater than if I gave you favor after favor after favor. But why? You're reaching the life that Jesus lived, that Mary lived. More so, since I, God, permit this day also to dispose you to departing from this earth. So he says, I'm teaching you so that you can get ready to leave the earth and embrace heaven. Or, as Jesus says, embrace the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So he's asking us to live heaven now, peaceful, joyful, and happy. He's asking us to enter into this state of physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering to dispose us to leave. Why? As that priest told us back in, when I was first in the seminary in 64, he said, you know, Lent's coming. What are you going to give up for the rest of your life? And it was like, rest of my life. what are you talking about? And he said, if you give up something each year, by the time you're 80, he said, you're ready to give up your heartbeat. You're ready to give up your breath. You're ready. You've given God everything to the point of what? Disposing you to depart from this life. Our life is heaven on earth as it is in heaven right now, but it's coming. The kingdom is coming. Volume 9, 11, 1, 19, 10. My daughter, the supreme unity is when the soul reaches such tightness of union with my most holy divine will as to consume any shadow of her human will in such a way that it is no longer possible to discern which one is my will and which one is hers. So the human will is just going to be dissolved. It's just, I'm not going to give life to it. What is the human will? It's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus says, stop it. I want you to enter into this abundant life, light, love, which is God. He says, then my divine will becomes the life of this soul in such a way that whatever thing it may dispose over her, as well as over others, the soul is content with everything, fiat and everything. What's the divine will? It's fiat and everything. When people call and they say, and I talk to people, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, and this is going on. What do I do? It's fiat. Whoa, I don't want to do that. No. It's fiat. Be peaceful. Jesus is in charge and he's testing you. Are you going to be peaceful in this situation or not? And that's what, be content with everything. And then there is the low unity in which the soul is resigned. This is the saints. They were resigned to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God wasn't given to them yet. That's a low unity with God. Just so that you know, I love the saints, but it's a low unity in which the soul is resigned. Why? The souls at that time did not have Louisa, did not have the Book of Heaven. But the soul does not look at my dispositions as her own things, but as her own life. Nor does she delight in my will, nor does she dissolve her human will with mine. This one I look at, yes. But the soul does not reach the point of enamoring me. This is the wedding feast. Nor do I reach the point of going mad for this soul as I do for those of the supreme unity, which is the divine will. He saved the best for last. I love the saints. But what Jesus has given to Louisa is living in the divine will, which the saints did not know about. Because they didn't. This is Louisa's gift. Volume 10, 1, 8, 19, 10. Jesus said to Father G, my son, courage. Again, courage is necessary. We are at war. We are at battle. Defend my cause. That's the war we're in, defending the cause of God. Sustain and help those priests whom you see a little disposed for this work. Promise every good in my name to those who shall commit themselves and threaten those who cause contradictions and obstacles. Tell the bishops and the leaders that if they want to save the flock, this is the only means. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? What's the solution to what's happening in the world and in the church? The only solution to save the flocks is the divine will. God's given it to us. And again, the majority doesn't know the divine will at this point, and there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said, I use 12 apostles to proclaim the church, the kingdom of redemption, and it went all around the world. He says, this is going to be more so. Why? Jesus says, I'm going to do it. So he says, what is this book of heaven? It is up to the bishops to save the shepherds. It's up to the shepherds to save the flock. And if the bishops do not place the shepherds in safety, how can the flock be saved? There's a few bishops in this world that understand this. And it's not because nobody wants to. It's a secret. God has to see if the bishops are disposed. God has to see if the priests are disposed. God has to see if the lay people are disposed for what he is going to do. And the fourth part was, having heard about the difficulties of the priests forming the houses of the reunion, so this is the house of the resurrection of the faith. Every priest, that should be part of their life when they read the book of heaven. God is asking them to open the houses of the resurrection of the faith, houses of the reunions. So every priest who's reading the Book of Heaven, name your home, name your cottage, name your rectory, name your institute. This is the house of reunion. This is the house of the resurrection of the faith. Say that to Jesus. I'm ready to begin, Lord, what you are asking of the priesthood. It's an individual choice. And, well, I need permission to do this. Jesus says, Louisa said, I heard about the difficulties the priests are forming the house of the reunion. Well, I was praying to good Jesus, that if his will be done, he would dissolve the obstacles that they were preventing at such a great good. So there's obstacles that are preventing these houses of reunions. And my adorable Jesus, in coming, told me, my daughter, all the obstacles come from the fact that each one looks at this thing according to his own conditions, his own dispositions. And naturally, they encounter 1,000 laces, 1,000 stumbling blocks to prevent their steps. If you're thinking humanly, this is impossible. Jesus said, I'm going to do it. So each priest stands up boldly and says, my house is now a house of the resurrection of the faith. My rectory is now a rectory of the resurrection. As long as I'm here, it's a resurrection of the resurrection of the faith. My cottage, if you have a cottage, my cottage is now a house of the resurrection of the faith. And in this house is going to be dedicated to God. And he says that they encounter 1,000 laces, 1,000 stumbling blocks to prevent their steps. But if they looked at it as a work according to my honor and my glory, this is where the priests start with the divine will. My house, I mean, if you become an oblate, it should be, you know, whatever your name is, of, and you have to have what it's from, of, the priest should be of the house of the resurrection of the faith. I dedicate my life to what Jesus is asking. I might not ever see it, but this is what Jesus is asking, and I'm going to say yes to it. He says, if they looked at this work that's coming according to my honor and my glory, and only for the good of their souls and for the souls of others, all the laces, these knots will be broken. All the stumbling blocks would vanish. Yeah, if they commit themselves, I, God, shall be with them. I, God, shall protect them. And I'll protect them so much that if any priest should try to oppose or hinder my work, I am even disposed to take his life away. Jesus has said this a number of times. He says, the poisonous priests that are poisoning my children, he says, if they don't change, I will do away with them. I mean, that to me is frightening. Jesus, he loves the priesthood. But if the priest is the one that's poisoning, he says, their lives will be gone. We're going to see more and more of this happening. And not every priest that dies is against God. But he says, I'm going to do this. I'm even disposed to take away his life if he opposes and hinders my work. These are the words of Jesus. He's got plans and nobody's going to stand in his way. This sanctification is a divine decree and Jesus is ready to begin it. Then all afflicted, my always lovable Jesus added, my daughter, do you know what the most insurmountable stumbling block and the strongest knot to the strongest lace is? It is mere self-interest. Self-interest is the wormwood of the priest. What is wormwood? You can't use it. You don't build a house with wormwood. The mere self-interest is the wormwood of the priest, and it renders the priest like rotten wood that is fit only for burning in hell. So Jesus is showing that the priesthood is necessary in a way that everything is going to be rebuilt. And if the priest doesn't want to, what he was ordained to do, work with Jesus, the flames of hell are right around the corner. That's why the saints have said the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. The saints have said the crushed skulls or bishops cover the floor of hell. The priest, the bishop, the religious are going to be, they're going to be severely punished, Jesus says. You know, when somebody says to me, oh, my son's going to become a priest. He's in the seminary. He's going to be, I said, you better pray for him or else he'll end up in hell. They, my son is a good boy. You don't understand. The devil is out there. And he's trying to kill every priest. And he could kill them with food. He can kill them with television. He can kill them with their cottage. He can kill them with anything and everything. Self-interest makes the priest the laughingstock of the devil. Self-interest makes the priest the mockery of the people. Self-interest makes the priest the idol of their families. Therefore, the devil shall put many obstacles to hinder this work of God, their work the priests are supposed to do, because he sees that the net in which he has kept them chained and enslaved to his dominion is being broken. The priests are being set free. You gotta know this. God is doing this. So he says, so tell Father G to infuse courage in those souls, those priests he sees that are disposed, and not to leave them until he sees that the work has started. Otherwise, they shall just keep planning and shall not conclude anything. Let him tell the bishops not to accept new ordinations if they are not disposed to live segregated from their families. Tell him that many shall deride him, many shall make fun of him, many shall discredit him, but he should not pay attention to this suffering because of me. Jesus says, all shall be sweet for him. Now, the priests in Italy lived with their families. And again, I was always impressed with my family who would call me father. They know me. And they would use that title and it would really help. Not my first name, not a nickname, but father. And this is necessary. When a lay person says to me, Father, can I have your blessing? That to me is humbling because I know it's Jesus's blessing. And I know that they see Alter Christus, Father. Our job is to ask the priest for help. Don't be Protestant. Oh, we don't need the priest. We can do it. No, it's Jesus doesn't say that to Louisa. He's going to make it all sweet for the priest who does his will. Volume 10, 12, 25, 19, 10. Only shepherds were my first visitors, the only ones who kept coming and going, offering me, Jesus, gifts of their little things. This is when he was born. They were the first to receive the knowledge of my coming into the world. And as a consequence, the first favorites to be filled with my grace. This is the shepherds. This is why I always choose the poor and the ignorant, the abject people. And I, God, make of them portents of grace because they are always the ones to be more disposed, always the ones who more easily listen to me and believe me without raising so many difficulties, so many quibbles. On the contrary, as learned people do. So here Jesus is showing us that he loves the little ones. He loves his poor, his little. And I've seen this in my life. I've seen the souls who really love the divine will are little. They're little. They just want what God wants. And it's really beautiful to see these little souls. And I pray for little souls every day at Holy Mass, for the souls, as Jesus says, the souls who must live in my divine will. Those are the little souls. Volume 10, 115, 1911. Ah, my daughter, interest is the poison of the priest. and has infiltrated so much into the priests as to poison their hearts, poison their blood, even poison the marrow of their bones. Oh, how well did the devil weave it? See, it's our life is like clothing. And if there is an evil woven in, it's there. Their hearts, their blood, their marrow. How well did the evil weave it? Having found in them the human will disposed to be woven by the devil. The human will is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That has to go. It can't be part of our life. So Jesus says, my grace has used all of its art in order to form the weaving of love and to give them the counter poison to interest. So as the interest starts leaving the priesthood, this weaving of love, the love of humanity, the love of God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and love of humanity. But not finding their human will disposed, it has woven little or nothing of the divine. So every time we read every word that Jesus speaks to us in sacred scripture, through the saints, through our dogma and doctrine, and now with the book of heaven, weaves in the divine, but more so with this book of heaven. So the devil then is unable to prevent these houses of reunions for priests completely. So Jesus is showing, again, his desire that these houses of the reunions for priests happen. With great loss for him, he contends himself with the least, maintaining the web. Does that sound familiar? He is woven with a poison of interest. Oh, if you saw how few there are who are disposed to separate themselves from their families with their hearts also, to throw up this poison of interest. Now here's Jesus talking about this. You would cry with me if you see what the priests are doing. Don't you see how they fight among themselves in this regard? How the priests are agitated, how they become all fire. Even more, they believe that this nonsense, that nothing that does not befit their state. So the fire is the fire of interests. The fire is political. The fire has nothing to do with the divine. They believe this nonsense, and it's not fit for their state as priests. And while he was saying this, Jesus, Luisa says, I could see the priests who were disposed for this, and how scarce was their number. Very, very few. Very, very few. Volume 10, 5:16, 19:11. The members of the church, and especially those who occupy positions of height and dignity, have their eyes dazzled. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Members of the church, especially those who occupy with positions of the heights of dignity, their eyes are dazzled. It's like looking at the sun. They blunder a great deal. They reach to the point of protecting the false virtuous, and oppressing and condemning the true good. How clearly we see that today. The false virtuous and oppressing and condemning the true good. Jesus says, this grieves me so much to see those few true children of mine under the weight of injustice. Those children from whom my church must rise again. He says that about the little children of the divine will. He says in volume 3, Luisa, oil will come from your body that will soothe Jesus. And then he says in volume 13, oil that will come from the little children, the holy divine will soothe the church. The church will rise again in a more powerful way where everyone will be Catholic. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what's coming to the earth. To whom I am giving so much grace to dispose them to this, I see them placed with their backs to the wall and tied up to prevent their steps. This grieves me, Jesus, so much that I feel I am all fury for their sake. He's saying, I see the children, they're bound. This grieves me so much that I am all fury. We haven't seen anything yet. Think about it. Jesus redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with him on Calvary, giving us the kingdom of redemption, giving us the Holy Church 2,000 years ago. And 1/8 of the people, 1 billion out of 8 billion people are Catholic. And out of the 1 billion that are Catholic, many are in name only. 70%, they say, don't believe in the Eucharist. Jesus says, there's going to be one church, one flock, one shepherd. I'm going to get rid of everybody who doesn't want this, because it's the kingdom that's coming. It's a divine decree that has to happen. Like creation was a divine decree and redemption was a divine decree, now sanctification is coming as a divine decree for those who want it. Those that don't want it can't be here. This is Jesus returns with divine justice. That's what's coming. Volume 10, 6, 1911. If I went into a soul who is a beginner or has not yet reached the point of possessing me, Jesus, he says, as if I were all her own. This is the wedding feast. She would do little or nothing to me. She would not have the daring. She would not have the confidence to desire me, to bind me as she pleases. This is the boldness. Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior. I give this prayer to you as your command. These are all timid before me, and with reason, because they have not entered into me as the owners, as to be able to dispose as they wish. On the other hand, when a soul has reached the point of possessing me, she is daring. She is confident. She knows all the divine secrets, and with reason, she can say to me, Jesus, you are mine. I want to do what I want. You are all mine. I want to do what I want. Why? Because you're with me. It's you that's going to do it. So again, as St. Augustine said, love God and do as you please. This is more so. You are mine. I not only love you, we are become one with this marriage. I want to do what I want for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, for your thanksgiving, that all the world can rejoice in you. Do you see what Jesus is doing with this gift? It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. This isn't, please, 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 please. I've been praying for 30 years. Please, 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 please. And nothing's happened. These souls are timid, Jesus says. They haven't reached the point of possessing me. As Luisa, Luisa is daring. Luisa is confident. Luisa knows all the divine secrets. And with reason, Luisa can say to me, if you are mine, I want to do what I want. Because you're there. It's your desire in me, not even my desire anymore. Volume 10, 10, 11. You see, if you continue crying, I go away and leave you alone. You too want to afflict me. So here's this, please, 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 please. Jesus says, if you continue begging and crying and I go away and I leave you alone, you want to afflict me. I shall save all those who are disposed. Therefore, do not cry. Yes, Jesus, I'm not afraid for my family. You're going to save all those that are disposed. I pray in their name that they be disposed. And therefore, do not cry. I shall give you their souls. Be content. He says that to Luisa when you read the volumes of the Passion. Every word that you read every day, I will save a soul for you. Every word that you read in the book of heaven, the 24 hours of the Passion, I will give you a soul. Be content. You can have as much as you want or as little as you want. It's up to you, Jesus says. Volume 11, 2:14, 1912. Tell me, O Jesus, how is it that after you have disposed the souls to suffering and knowing the goodness that suffering's contained in it, she loves suffering. She suffers almost with a passion. And while she believes that suffering is her inheritance, and all of a sudden you take this treasure of suffering away from her. again, he's training us. And what happens is, it's wanting to be with Jesus, wanting to be invisible. As Father Bucci says, to live in the divine will, you have to be little insignificant and hidden. And Jesus says, my daughter, my love is great. My rule is insuperable. Listen to what he says. My teachings are sublime. My instructions are divine. My instructions are creative and intimidable. Therefore, so in all things, they can be great. They can be small. They can be painful. They can be enjoyable. They can be natural. They can be spiritual. See, this is where we give our fiat to God in everything, and may acquire one single color or have one single value once the soul has practiced suffering and reaches the point of loving it. I let this suffering pass into her human will as her own property. So every time I, God, send her suffering, having the property and the dispositions within her human will, she shall always be disposed to suffer and to love it. And I look at things in the human will as if it were the soul that were suffering, even if she does not suffer. So here, Jesus is saying, suffering is the ultimate. This is the ultimate, one Christ crucified. And when we do anything for the glory of God, the love of God, even if we're not suffering, Jesus says, I look at it as the ultimate, even if you don't suffer. So he's teaching us, don't be afraid of suffering. I mean, that's the evil one. Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid anymore. He wants us to trust in him so much that it's a new and divine way of holiness that's happening for each and every one of us. Volume 11, 723, 1912. If I wanted to pour myself out with you and to make you suffer as I once used to, therefore making you content by sparing the world the chastisements. See, Jesus says, he taught Louisa, when you suffer, I'm helped. When we suffer, someone in the world needs our suffering to get to heaven. Someone's on the edge of the abyss. And as suffering is everything to Jesus, he says, will you suffer a little bit for this soul to get to heaven? Making you content by sparing the world chastisements, faith, religion, salvation would be banished. More so, from the world, especially consider how souls are disposed in these times. I, my daughter, let me do, whether I have to keep you awake or asleep. Did you not tell me to do with you whatever I wanted? So here Jesus is showing us that Louisa spared the world chastisements, and we are sparing souls. This is the mystical body. We are sparing souls who are on the edge of the abyss. Say you get a sharp pain, or a headache. You say to the Lord, whoever needs this, Lord, I will do it for your glory. Whatever is needed, Lord, I do this for their glory. Think of others. It's not just you, me, 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 me. It's others are linked with us. It could be family members. It could be friends. It might be people that we've never met, but we will live with in heaven. He says very, very clearly, did you not tell me to do with you whatever I wanted? Now I want this, Jesus says. And our job is fiat. Volume 11, 8:20, 1912. Then Jesus added, it is said, man proposes, God disposes. As soon as the soul proposes to do some good, to be holy, immediately I, God, dispose around the soul the things that are needed. That is light, graces, knowledge of me, stripping of themselves that is not of me. So he's going to take away from us anything that is not of the holy humanity of Jesus. And he says, and if I do not achieve the purpose with these, then by dint of mortifications, I will do this. I will allow nothing to be lacking to the soul in order to give the soul what she has proposed. So again, Lent is coming. This is a time of prayer, fasting, mortification. Again, the suffering could be getting up a little earlier to go to Holy Mass. The suffering could be, I got to stand in line to go to confession. The suffering may be, I want to pray one more decade of the rosary. Our sufferings are nothing. But this time of Lent, make this Lent the greatest Lent ever. Let it be it might be the last Lent for some of us, but make it the greatest Lent ever. These 40 days of prayer, fasting, penance, conversion are necessary. If you're doing this in the divine will, you're doing it in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. I will give you what you are proposing. Volume 11, 9, 29, 19, 12. My daughter, the soul who is in my divine will and does her things because I want it, does not need to dispose her intentions herself. Since it is in my holy divine will that she operates, it is in my holy divine will that she prays, it is in my holy divine will that she suffers, and I myself dispose these things as best pleases, as best as I, God, please. So it's always in the divine will. I never want to leave the divine will. I want to fuse myself with you, Jesus, in the divine will. I want to fuse myself with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the divine will. I want to fuse myself with you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, in the divine will. Everything I want to think, say, and do, I want it done in the divine will. This is our prevenient act in the morning. Operated prayer, suffering, I dispose it to do in the divine will. And God goes, I will do it. Do you like reparation? I place them as reparation. Do you like love? I take them as love. Being owner, I do with them whatever I, God, want. Not so for the souls who are not in my divine will. They are the ones who dispose, and I comply with their human will. That's what you want? You want worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? That's what you're going to get. Worry, fear, anxiety. This is, see, it's to let go of that human and embrace the divine. Volume 11, 2, 19, 19, 13. And I, Jesus, you have forgotten about my misery and my nothingness and the extreme need I have of you. What shall I do? And Jesus said, my daughter, you shall do nothing, just as you have always done nothing. I alone shall speak. I alone shall operate within you. See, this is why we love Louisa. We want to get to this point. I alone shall speak and operate within you. I shall speak through your mouth. If only you want it so. I want it so, we should say to Jesus. And if there is a good disposition in them, I shall offer myself for everything. And even if I should keep you asleep in my will, I shall wake you up when necessary. And I shall let you speak to them. And I shall delight more in hearing you speak about my divine will, both in vigil and in sleep. So what is Jesus saying to us? He delights when we talk to people about the divine will, not teaching them. Do you know what Jesus said today in the volume? I mean, that to me is how we should be living. Today, Jesus said this to me in the calendar. He said this to me. I want you to know, I want you to hear what he said. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this wonderful? See, he loves the souls who are reading the divine will. And he says, and I will speak in your speaking. If you're repeating what he said, I will breathe in your breathing. I'll beat in your heart beating. I will do whatever you ask. I will be there, Jesus says. So we'll end with a prayer. And be back in an hour and 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.